to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 10th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What does a Nobel laureate and John the Baptist have in common? Well, it might help if I told you which Nobel laureate. This past fall, the Nobel Prize for Economics was given to a very controversial figure, a man named Richard Thaler from the University of Chicago, who was so disliked by the other economists that one of his colleagues, a fellow Nobel laureate from the same university, when they passed each other in the hallway, would not look him in the eye or say hello. This went on for decades. Richard Thaler had this interesting idea that economics was, in its basis, completely wrong. Economics was the idea that individuals act rationally according to their best economic interest, right? A whole science was based on that sort of premise. And Thaler said, that's all well and good in theory, but real human beings are the opposite of rational. Hence the entire advertising industry, based on inciting your, not your intellect, right, but what? Your emotions. I mean, if they can get you to cry, if they can get you to feel guilty, if they can get you to feel uncomfortable, then you will buy the product. It's all based on emotion. Thaler said it's behavior, human behavior, that we need to study in order to understand economics. Well, after many decades of being ridiculed, he now has the Nobel Prize for Economics. So clearly, the economic world has come around. So what on earth does that have to do with John the Baptist, that crazy man who stood by the banks of the Jordan River yelling at people, wearing crazy clothes, camel's hair, shouting at them to repent and be baptized? What does Thaler have to do with John the Baptist? John the Baptist knew something very similar to Thaler, that religion was not about having the right ideas, not about going through the right motions and having the right liturgy. He said, what you're doing in the temple is all well and good, except it is not bringing you closer to God, because it's not getting at your behavior. You brood, we don't read this part, but you brood of vipers, he says to them. How can you say one thing and have all the right answers and all the education and all the liturgy, and yet you are so far from following God in your real life? He invited people to change their behavior and to get back in touch with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he anticipated and prepared the way for God in the person of Jesus Christ. One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. If you count the number of times the word prepare falls in our lessons today, it's a bunch. Today is about prepare. So how do we prepare? You know, I read these Bible passages. You all have heard these many, many times in your lives. These stories are so familiar. What difference does it make for us today? How do we prepare and how do we repent? Well, obviously, we can always repent by doing good religious things, by reading the Bible, by praying, by sacrificing, all those, by giving alms. But something occurred to me a few years ago, and it's just been reinforced for me this fall. And it's a strange insight. It's not going to win me the Nobel Prize, I can guarantee that. But it's made a difference in my own life and journey. And that is that sometimes when I put effort into one part of my life, it actually pays huge dividends in other parts of my life as well. Let me give you an example. As you all know, my wife and I in August started our diet, and we've been sort of obsessing about what we eat. But one of the things that's helped me to do is to just go, and a nutritionist friend of mine says this. She says, the people who are successful in changing their eating are the people who pay attention to what they're eating. I mean, this is not rocket science. If you pay attention and journal and know what you're eating, you're going to be more careful. You're going to be more aware. You're going to be more on top of it. That's been true for us. What I didn't expect was that changing that one behavior in my life has spilled over into some other areas as well. It's freed up energy to exercise more. It's freed up some time because we're doing these, I'll put a plug in for the Beaumont shakes. We're doing these shakes. It's freed up time from shopping and food preparation that I've been able to put into other things. And it's created in me a desire to do the same kind of awareness with other parts of my life, because food is not the only area where I was over-consuming and not paying attention. It happens in spending money in our family. Where do we spend this money? I've been going through and figuring out. Where does the money go? It's just like magic. It just disappears, right? You just walk around and money just starts flying out of your pockets. Well, I've been carefully looking at it and finding places where we could cut back on spending without really fundamentally ruining our lives. We could actually be more careful in the way we spend. It made me think about my basement, which is always in the back of my mind as an oppressive weight. All the junk in my basement bothers me. It just irritates me to know that there's this unorganized junk that's taking up all this space. So I went down to the basement, which I've been avoiding for like a year and a half. And I started thinking, what could I work on? How could I get rid of it? Some of the stuff, I have to say, was not our fault, right? It was the former owners. They left so much stuff in the basement. They left a gas oven in the basement, which is, I'm sure, not a safe thing. They left a big exercise thing, which we never used. So out it went. Called the company, get it out, and then I started sifting through some of our items. That, I don't know, it just gave me this release of energy and emotion to know that I was tackling this weight of junk. All right, what I want to say is, you probably have lots of stories in your lives too, all the different areas. They get out of balance and they get out of whack. And they become, for me, at least in my life, the mountains and the valleys that prevent me from experiencing God's grace. Because I'm so worried and oppressed by these mundane things in my life, I am not able to pray the way I ought to. I'm not able to worship God. I'm not able to invite God daily into the present of my life, right? These things get in the way. I'm not sure it's what John the Baptist was talking about, but going through my finances, my eating, my stuff, my time, and trying to find space has meant a huge difference, made a huge difference in my spiritual life. Ironically, by worrying less about how I pray and by worrying about these other things, it has freed me to experience God's grace in a new way. We all are invited this Advent season, which is so ironic, at the very time when our schedules explode and go absolutely crazy, the church says, okay, everybody, take extra time to prepare for God. And we're like, there is no way. What we do, even in laying the foundation for later in the year, can make a huge difference. Everything in our lives is connected because we are people who are made of mind and body and spirit. what we do in our body has an effect on our spirit. What we do with our emotional life and dealing with trauma and emotional problems and getting counseling where we need it can pay huge dividends physically as well as spiritually. It is all connected. So this Advent, my prayer for you, all of you, and for myself, is that we find ways to identify those mountains and valleys, to find the places that God is inviting us to work on to create a level pathway for the Holy Spirit to work in new and powerful ways in our lives, to clean out the clogged pipes of our drains and to let the water of baptismal life flow more freely in our lives. I believe that this can pay huge dividends for us and allow us to experience the birth and presence and imminent return of Christ in new and powerful ways. We all have the capacity to be our best advocates and allies or our worst enemies. Where is God inviting you this season of your life to create pathways for his grace? Where is God inviting you to turn again and to see and experience the coming of Christ in your life? Where is God inviting you to tap into the unexhaustible power and abundance of his love?